Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, a CDC panel voted by a 13-1 decision. Who will be at the front of the line when we start doling out the vaccines? And I think rightly so, they decided that the frontline healthcare workers, the people who are being overwhelmed right now, that they should be first in line along with the folks who are the most vulnerable, those folks living in long-term care facilities in our nursing homes. That seems sane. That seems rational. I would argue that the next line of people who should get it are the grocery store workers, the fast food workers, you know, all of those people that we were calling frontline heroes. They should be next in line. Sorry, rich guy who can choose to stay home and the socially distance, you're last, or maybe no, maybe politicians, you're last. No, I think I'm going with the rich guy last. But politicians, especially the Republicans, or anybody who's tweeted out that it was a hoax, that wearing a mask was stupid, any Karen who's on videotape in a gym complaining that she shouldn't have to wear a mask because she's got some weird ailment, you're last. But everybody who was trying to get through this and do the right thing, we should be getting to them first. And my other question is, who's the one guy who said, nah, I don't think those healthcare workers and the seniors should get it? I'd like to know who the one guy is. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, the CDC's announcement and where we are with the virus at this point, I've asked our medical expert, Dr. Kelly Senholz, to come talk with us. Dr. Senholz, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I'm not sick. That's a good start. But 13-1, who the hell is this one guy?
Oh, my God, I don't know. That's hilarious. That is a very good question. The thing is, I think it's pretty intuitive. I think that healthcare workers are obviously going to be first. And then we're talking about nursing home patients, people with disabilities or medical issues, frontline workers. It's going to take months for us to get to the general population.
As it should. I mean, the reality is we get it as fast as we can, but it's those people who are the most vulnerable, the people who are most impacted by it. We get them first. That makes common sense. Something we used to understand in this country.
Yes. The character of our nation has been challenged, and we have fallen greatly short.
But here's the thing. You know, I happened to catch this. This thread, this Dr. Nichols wrote this very long thread that I hope everybody reads. I tweeted it out. I hope everyone takes a look at it, where he's talking about, you know, in comes this older guy with the Nazi tattoos and the swastikas and all this stuff. And he says, you know, here's a Jewish doctor, an African-American nurse, an Asian respiratory therapist saving this guy's life. And, you know, this guy was one of the it's all a hoax. It's all, I'm not wearing my stinking mask. You know, he's there because of his own stupidity. And yet, you know, they said, look, you know, we're doing the best we can. You know, we're going to help do what we can to save you in the face of all of this stuff. And to me, it's just another one of those moments where I give such credit to doctors and to people who on the front lines who put aside their own interests, their own safety to help even the idiots among us.
Dr. Nichols wrote a really poignant post, and I hope everybody has a chance to see it. But the fact is that's what we do. We're self-selected people who want to help everybody. That's our job. I remember years ago, I had to do hair sampling on what turned out to be a serial rapist murderer. And he was a most charming man, very handsome. I thought, wow, if I met him on the street, I would have just thought he was amazing. Everybody that comes to the emergency department gets treated the same. We treat everybody well. And this has been really frustrating. I got to tell you, in the last few days, I have felt an extreme I don't know what to call it, bitterness, anger, frustration coming out of nurses and doctors.
Yep.
That I've never heard before. Everybody is very frustrated at the general public for not being able to just for a short period of time change your life a little bit to save lives. They're tired, they're hungry, they miss their families. Many people are still living in their garages or their trailers. This has been abysmal, and they're falling. I mean, some of them just are quitting. They can't do it anymore.
And hasn't that been the fear all along? Because, look, I understand, and I've had people tell me, well, you know, 98% of the people are going to be just fine. They'll get past it. It won't be a big deal. And I argue back, well, it's not so much about that. It's about overtaxing our systems, and it was always about flattening the curve and not blowing away our hospitals and our healthcare facilities. And I don't know where you live, but I'm not seeing the kind of stories and the kind of attention that we got back in March and April over what I would argue is much worse now than was back then.
It's much worse. It's much worse. But here's a couple of stats. So the dead so far, we have one out of every approximately 1,100 people in the United States are dead. That number is unbelievably high. But most experts are saying we're going to about double. When you do the numbers, it comes out to about one in every 650 people in the United States will die of this. But we're going to have five times that many people who are long-term disability patients because of COVID. People with devastating neurological problems, strokes, heart attacks, the myriad of bizarre symptoms that are coming out of this. I read something interesting. There are some historians that feel Hitler's rise was partially due to the large number of disabled people after the pandemic in 1918. He did attack the disabled and infirmed as one of his groups that he struck out at. And we're going to be living with the cost and the burden of a massive number of disabled people. But you cannot get the population to believe this when the leader of the free world is spouting bizarre things at the golf course.
Yeah. No, and it's crazy. And you also have his team running around the country claiming there was all this, you know, voter fraud and all this theft that went on. And that sucks all the oxygen and the attention out of the room to where we're not talking about the number of people are dying every day. And the numbers are you know, double what they were back in April and May. I mean, we're much worse, and they're going to get even worse as we move into December and January.
Dr. Michael Osterholm is a newly appointed COVID-19 advisor for President Biden. He said, we are about to enter COVID hell. And, you know, I was thinking about what it's going to look like when Biden takes office. Like, how are we going to fight this continuing insanity? But I have a feeling we're about to go through 2 months of such massive death and the economic devastation that it's going to be hard for anybody to not remember it, to not have it imprinted on their soul as to this is what happened.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I look at Twitter every day and there's a story, another nurse, or on Facebook, another nurse has come forward and said, you know, this is what I'm seeing. This is how horrible it is. And begging people, please, please, please do the right things. And I don't know where you live, you know, at the end of it, I look at my backyard and it doesn't seem like, you know, it's business as usual. In fact, you know, they closed our schools down, completely because, you know, you had teachers and people you would think would know better going out of state. And, you know, it's insane.
I have no idea why the airlines are not shut down. I don't understand why we're allowing people to travel around like we are. This is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I have people that are telling me, you know, they're planning a vacation and this and that. And I'm like, what are you talking about. It's almost as if we live in two different realities.
Yeah. But what do you say to the person, Dr. Senholz, who goes, you know what, you know, we're just going to have to bowl through this. It's already too late. Because I've had this argument thrown at me, you know, there's nothing we can do now. It's already too late. We've just got to work through it. Hope the vaccine gets to us quick enough. Hope we have the therapeutics to take care of us when we get sick. But ultimately, as a country, we're just going to have to, like bulls in the China shop, beeline right for the exit.
So we have about, you know, we've got less than a couple of weeks till vaccinations are beginning. It will, you know, 5, 6, 7 months. I don't know how long, but we've got, if we can just hang on, if we could shut down now for just 2 weeks and get a grip on it, and then take a specially cautious approach to the next few months, we could save a couple of 100,000 lives and 1 million people from disability. We could save billions and billions of dollars and come out the other side stronger if we had leadership.
Yeah, but we don't. So nothing's going to happen until January 20th. No, I mean, look, I would love to go into the fantasy world of Donald Trump is going to have a great epiphany. The three ghosts are going to come to him in his sleep and, you know, and wake him up, and, you know, the future ghost is going to, you know, lay out all this horrible stuff and he's going to care. That's not going to happen. So we've got to make it to January 20th, and then it's going to be raging completely out of control. And then what can a President Biden do when it's already completely out of control? And as I've been told, the numbers are going to be upwards of 3,000 people a day dying each and every day for his first 100 days.
So he's going to have to just start again, like as if it was the first day of the crisis. Explain to people what it is, what went wrong, what the damage has been, and how we can prevent it. Right now, Australia has had, I think, 20 or 30 days with no cases. They have full sports events. They have shopping. They have social events. They have, a team of health experts that jump on anything that looks like a case to make sure they stop it in its tracks. So basically, they've totally controlled COVID by simply having good leadership.
Right.
In our case, we're going to have economic devastation for decades from what is being done this month. Somebody has to get that message across.
No, and the sad thing is, and the reason that I'm so grateful that you come on and share this with us is that all of the oxygen is being sucked out of the room because we're focused on all of the lawsuits that Trump's losing all across the country.
Yes, yes, absolutely. He's a master at stealing attention. But the press is complicit. But, you know, when I flip on the news, I see shows about the virus, but it's almost like it's become a little hum in the back. You know, everybody, they just can't take it anymore. You know, there's no, if somebody had said it's our patriotic duty, like a victory garden, to help your neighbors, like if they had inspired like that,
yep,
people would be able to stick with it. They would have been able to see the purpose and the dignity and being kind to other people.
No, absolutely.
But as it is, like, seriously, we're a country of sociopaths.
No, I argued right
it for themselves, and it's horrifying to watch.
No, I argued that had Trump come out in the beginning and said, look, we don't know what it is, but basic common sense of stay away from each other, wear a mask, and wash your hands, because that's the basic. Everyone knows that. That's how you don't get the flu that way. We've known that since we were little kids. It's what we were told. You know, don't cough and sneeze on your neighbor. Stay away from each other. Don't breathe on each other. The mask thing just helps you not breathe on each other. Had he come out and said, look, I want my patriots, I want my Trump twits to go out and make sure everyone's wearing a mask, he would have won re-election hand down without question.
I'm with you. If he had done that, we would be saying second term Mr. Trump right now. But he didn't. And the thing is, he's not capable. I was thinking about it, like, what are people in politics who look at all these things and try to play the chess game, what did they think about it? And they were like, he's not going to choose the right thing. He never chooses the right thing. It's why he went bankrupt in every business he ever started, because when you have a fork in the road, A or B, he always chooses the wrong one.
Yeah. It's like the Churchill.
It was inevitable that he would do this.
Yeah, it's like the Churchill quote, you know, Americans always make the right decision after doing everything else first.
We may have taken that to the extreme this time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a scary thing. So, you know, last line of questioning I have for you, because, you know, obviously we're not going to do the right thing between now and January 20th. And I know this may sound like a broken record, but, you know, what should people do to protect themselves between now and January 20th?
Seriously, right now we have a situation like Italy where when the Italian hospitals were overrun, they literally locked the door of the hospital. They had no extra oxygen, no beds, no staff. They had nothing to offer anybody that came, and they didn't want to give them false hope or have to sit there and explain to them, so they just shut the doors. And people were dying right on the steps of the hospitals. We now have three states that are, we have Rhode Island and New Mexico are over their maximum number of beds right now. We have epidemiologists in Arizona just this week have very clearly stated that within a week they're going to be overrun. And it's going to be, you know, at least 6 weeks before any recovery happens. So we're talking, we are literally going into the bowels of hell right now. And anybody, you need to treat this like it is a life or death situation. Stay in your home. Stay away from people. If you're even walking outside on the sidewalk, you need to be wearing a mask. You need to stay 12 feet away from people if you can stay that far away from them.
Stay yeah, they're 6 feet and yours.
Any enclosed space where people have been. We're talking about gas stations, bathrooms, restaurants, bars. Get out of the bars. Do not go in a bar. That is where this is spreading, in restaurants and bars. From now on, like, zero. You cannot go to a bar or restaurant right now. I'm sorry. Our government needs to give them money so they can last through this, but you cannot go to restaurants and bars. You cannot go to places that are enclosed where lots of people are. It's just not safe right now.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Last question I've got for you, because something just popped into my head. I was reading a nurse's comments, and she said that they've switched to disaster charting. Is that what you were talking about a second ago, about closing the doors, this idea of disaster charting? What does disaster charting mean?
Well, you know, we chart a bunch of things that are for the bean counters, you know, the first statistical analysis, but mainly for money, for the hospital to get more money. And what they're saying is that they don't have time to chart. Is that, like, if you go to Africa and do volunteer medicine, you may have 1,000 people lined up to want to see you, and you don't make charts on these people. You just start seeing them. You just take care of them as fast as you can.
Okay.
And you know, right now, if you see two patients in an hour, it may take you 45 minutes to do the charting. It's like that had to go. So many of these people that are being seen right now who have disabilities, the record of what happened to them is not going to be very clear.
Okay, because this woman was saying they're just completely blown away and overwhelmed.
Yep.
In Pittsburgh, and she's at her wit's end. And you know, I saw that disaster charting, and I was I'm glad you clarified that for me. That's the, again,
I can't even tell you the emotional trauma that's happening right now across the nation. It pains me every day. I just wake up every day hoping that Donald Trump will run for it, and Biden can be seated early, because every single hour, every day that this goes on, the financial and health devastation, the families, the communities, it's growing exponentially. It's very bad.
Yeah, while I'm looking for new leadership, it's not possible for him to take over.
Yeah, go invite him.
It's just
him
not.
To,
as much as I wanted, it's not. But Dr. Senholz, I appreciate the time, the information. Always great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick, for everything. Thank you so much.
Our good friend, Dr. Kelly Senholz. And look, you know, we've been having these conversations over and over again for the last several months. And while this is may sound repetitive, evidently we're still not getting it. And I'm going to finish up with the Los Angeles County Supervisor, a woman named Sheila Kuehl, K-U-E-H-L, however that's pronounced. Evidently, they had protesters outside of her house in Santa Monica because she's out there saying that, hey, you know, we should be doing stuff and, you know, taking care of each other and, you know, kind of the stuff that we're talking about. The protesters are outside of her house because she said, oh, what the hell, I'm going to go out to dinner. She voted to ban outdoor dining, and there she is out there, outdoor dining. Hypocrite! If you're gonna say it, you got to do it, and don't push laws on other people. You know, if I saw our governor, you know, and Governor Wolf, I think has done a very good job here in Pennsylvania of doing what he can to keep even the stupid people safe. If he were out, you know, somewhere, I'd be protesting him. It's just that simple. But again, this is one of those moments where, you know, Dr. Senholz is right. You know, we're coming into a very, from everybody that I've talked to, everything that I've read, coming into a really ugly period over these next couple of months. So the common sense, again, stay away from each other. Don't breathe on each other. Wash your hands. Seems kind of simple, doesn't it? We can do that, right? At least I hope we can. And maybe we'll stay out of what is left of our hospital system. Anyway, if you missed any of today's program, TheRickSmithShow.com, that's where you go to get the podcast. The Rick Smith Show app on the smartphone. Take the program on the go wherever you go. And as always, you can email me, Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick at Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com.